in a while, but we thank God for His presence and His goodness. Get your Bibles out if you would. Let's go to the book of Psalms. And again, thank you for being here, and I do thank God for His presence. And I cannot even state how, again, how joyous it is to have our little girl in this world with us. We're just overjoyed. Again, just a little bit tired, but if you've been a parent, I don't think you'll ever forget those first week, or maybe the first couple of weeks. And again, I know most of you women, like, you're the dad. What are you talking about? but still, I'm tired too, even though she's more tired. But we thank God for His goodness. I'm telling you, you know, as I was there this week, and little Lydia was born, and I'm holding her for the first time, and I think, I said, how could anybody ever want to hurt a child? I just, you know, the government in some portions of our country is moving into what's called late-term abortion. A lot of your states had kind of capped it off around, it's horrible regardless, it's murder regardless, but capped it off around 24 weeks, I think it was, and even then, how horrific that is. But here, now they're starting to talk about late-term abortion, up to 40 weeks, been able to kill a child. And even sadly, yes, and even Northam has said himself they could be born and kill them. It shows you how evil the day is, how evil the day is. But what an opportunity for the light of Jesus Christ to shine, amen. But I'm glad for life, and we need to protect life. And I know this, just to go along with that, I know we're not talking about all that, but we were talking to the board yesterday. We're going to participate coming up in January in a Sanctity of Life Sunday where we have baby bottles and we put change in it, and it goes to help support a local pro-life ministry in the area. So that'd be something. If you start saving up a little change, some of you might have some saved up. And if you would like to give to that special cause coming up in January, it'd be something for you to pray about. But go in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Psalm chapter 61. Psalm 61. This is very familiar reading to you. I know that you've probably read this text many of time. I know I've preached from it in the past. Now, telling you when that was, that would be a difficult thing to do. But I'll talk to you a very simple title this morning, something I was praying about yesterday and even felt this morning in my living room. I just took about 15 minutes just asking God to take me to higher ground. And that's what I want to talk to you about here this morning, higher ground. I'm going to preach to you about that. Look there, if you would, Psalm 61, just going to read the first five verses. And really, we could just read three, but there's something I want to point out in verse 5 a little bit later. And let's look there if you would. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I'm sorry, Selah. Verse 5. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Again, going to preach to you about higher ground. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to come together in this church. We are so blessed, God, to be here. And I ask you, Lord, for your anointing, your assistance for the next few moments. God, I need your anointing. I need your touch and help, Holy Ghost. I am nothing without you, Lord, and I realize that. But God, your Spirit is able to come by and to minister in this time. Touch us, if you would, in the name of Jesus. I love you and I thank you. Amen and amen. Now, many of you have read this psalm before. There's a few things I want to kind of talk to you about in this. And I kind of, number one, want to lay a foundation. Anytime we are reading through the Psalms, it is very critical and important that we figure out why the Psalm was written. Who wrote it and what were the circumstances that were surrounding it in that time? Now, the amazing thing about the Psalm is we know that David wrote it. Many commentators believe that. But we don't know exactly the circumstances that were surrounding his life at this time. I like what one writer said about this. He said, it's kind of a blessing at times when we don't know the circumstances because we can kind of apply it a little easier to our circumstances. It's easier to put our names there, if you would, and say, look, Even though we don't know fully what's going on there in the life of David, I know what's going on in my life, and there's something special, and there's something very intimate about Psalms that are written in such a way. Some commentators believe this was written by David when he was fleeing from Absalom. Whatever the situation was, we do know this. The psalmist here feels that he is far away from God. It says that in verse 2. It says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And notice he feels like he is physically distant from God. He feels like he is separated and distant in that sense. And I like what Warren Wiersbe said about this. He said, we may not know the location of the geography here, but we know that there's some spiritual geography here, and that the psalmist spiritually feels like he's not as close to God as he wants to be. Not that God has failed, and not so much that the psalmist has failed, but sometimes circumstances in life can cause you to feel distant from God. It can do that in your life. Not that it has to, but it can have that effect on your life. Notice what he says here. He says, look, when my heart is overwhelmed, that idea of being overwhelmed is the idea of being enveloped or blanketed or covered in despair. This is heartache beyond to what we often can imagine. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed. You ever had your heart overwhelmed before? You ever been through something before and your heart seems to be enveloped and blanketed and covered by the circumstances and that situation? He says, when my heart is overwhelmed. So we notice here that he is going through something, but notice the remedy for his perplexity. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Amen. This is talking about higher ground. God is my rock. God is my rock. Amen. I was thinking this week, just through personal reflection, as many of you know, last year we had that miscarriage a couple of days before Christmas. And I remember standing in that office on that Sunday morning, and many were out of town on that day. And I'll be honest with you, didn't know how I was going to preach. But my preaching was basically a plea for this. Lord, I need you to take me up higher this morning. Amen. Here I am, a little bit getting close to a year later. Even though I lost a precious baby, which is now in heaven, I'm now holding a baby in my arms. There's a baby here this morning. And I can tell you, you've been there and I've been there through problems of life. There is a rock that is higher. Amen. There's a place that you can go that you find the comfort and you find the peace that you need. I'm glad there's a higher ground for the believer here this morning. Now the psalmist here talks about God being his rock. Many different psalms, many different occasions. And you don't have to turn there this morning, but in the book of Psalms 118, it is a fairly lengthy psalm, but there the psalmist says it four different times in that chapter. He says in Psalms 18 and verse 2, the Lord is my rock. He says later on in verse 2, he says, my God is my rock. Or he would say my strength in the King James Version. But the idea is a high wall and a rock. He also would go on to say in verse 31 of chapter 18 that he says that God is my rock. He goes on to say in verse 46 of 18, he says, praise be to my rock. The idea of the psalmist is this. He knew what it was to run from the enemy and to go to the different caves and to the rocks of the hillside there in the mountains. He knew what it was for David. David knew what it was to flee from the enemy. And many times when the armies of Saul would be looking for him, and no doubt he could hear their footsteps clanking against the rocks. No doubt he could hear their voices of intimidation. He knew where every crevice was, and he would kneel down behind them rocks, and God there would preserve him. I just wonder how many times David looked down at the enemy and seen him down there from such a lofty place and realized, God, you are a God of my protection, and you are a God of my deliverance. Now, I've mentioned some of these things potentially in the past, and my mind often fails me about that, but I've read into this before about the significance of what a rock meant to people in that time in Israel. Now, first, what I understood about this in studies, and I read this, I believe it was in a book by James Montgomery Boyce about the Psalms. He is one of the greatest commentators about the Psalms. He wrote these back in the 90s, I believe it was. And there he did a study on God God being our rock. He began to look, and he'd been to Israel many times and talked to many that have lived over there and knew the ancient history of Israel. He said, number one, the image of a rock was often known as a place of protection and shade. A place of protection and shade. He said it was not uncommon in those days in the hot and sandy lands of the Bible, and there was much struggle for life, and the elements of the desert was very intense, and at many times men and women would die in those climates and in the hot temperatures there in the wilderness. But he said there was something amazing about when there was a rock bed somewhere right out in the middle of a desert, and when the spring rains would come, it said it would light a light blanket of green underneath those rocks. It would be a shady area. It would be a place of oasis. And many times, maybe a weary traveler would be walking through the desert, and there they would come upon that cluster of rocks, if you would. And they would find life there, if you would, in the shade, almost as if an oasis. Much like Isaiah would allude to in Isaiah 32:2, when he said, the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. They knew what it was to be in the wilderness, to come upon those rocks, and to get underneath the coolness and the shade, and it would help stay them for another day. And I would say, brothers and sisters, you and I can relate in this, that God being our rock, there's many times in life you feel like you're being scorched, you feel like you're being tormented, and you feel like you're parched. But you come to a place and you say, Lord, I'm going to pray through today, and you find yourself underneath the shadow of the Almighty. You find yourself being protected from the heat and the adversity of that scorching trial. Thank God there's a place of refreshment. David knew about it. You know about it. I know about it. Let's apply it to our lives. Secondly, Boyce would say, the second use of this image portrays God as a refuge for his people. This idea is prominent in Psalms 18, as I've already mentioned to you. And the idea is that you could go up high and have the advantage against your enemy and that which was coming against you. You would have the bird's eye view, if you would. You could go up higher. You could go to higher ground. Thirdly, he would say, the third biblical use of the image is this. He said it was having a sure foundation beneath one's feet. Amen. In a slippery place, in a slippery time, if you can get your foot on the rock, it can be a place of a sure foundation. Just like that man that built his house upon the rock there at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible says he dug deep and he found a rock. You and I can get our foot on the rock this morning, and it is a firm foundation. The Lord has lifted us up out of that miry clay, out of that muddy pit there, and he put my feet on a rock, a place that I can stand. Thank God there's a place with some traction in life that you can stand upon. In sifting times, you better get your foot on the rock. In these last days, if you can fall, you will. In the sense that if you will fall, if you give into the mindset of the day, I believe we don't have to fall in Jesus Christ. I know you can. I didn't mean to misphrase that there, but the idea is this. You can get your foot on a rock, and you can have confidence in your stance against what's going on in this world. Thank God for that rock. Let's get here back to our text a little bit, and I'm not going to be extremely lengthy here this morning. Give me a little bit more time, 20 minutes or so. Psalm 61 talks about that rock that is what? Higher than I. Now, what's so unique about this features of this rock is this. God being our rock acknowledges this, that God is in an exalted position. How many knows it's good to have a lofty view of God? Now, there's a trend, and I read a lot into these things, probably more than I should at times, that I keep up with the pulse of what's going on in the church world. Years ago, the idea was in Catholicism and the Dark Ages, they had God so aloof, so far away, it's almost as if nobody could reach out and touch him. They built their very structures with that idea. They wanted you to walk in and just look up. Now, all of that was not necessarily bad, but there was a disconnect. Then came where we said, look, you know, God is attainable too. You can reach out and touch him. He loves you. You can approach God. He cares about your individual needs. But can I tell you right now, we have to find a balance there. We can become so casual with our approach to God that God begins to lose a sense of loftiness. And maybe I'll preach about that another time and some things I'm working on. But what I want to tell you is this. You've got to have a high and a holy view of God. He is upwards, brothers and sisters. He's bigger than you and I. The rock is higher than David. Now, it's natural to think of God being higher and greater. I know that's natural if you have a proper biblical understanding. But look, David, so I want you to understand something. When you're going through something, you can be tempted to think of God of lesser than what He is or more distant than what He is. God wants you to know you can come to a higher plateau. He's calling us upwards. I read this years ago, and I've heard preachers use it in sermon illustration. But I'm not one of those preachers that builds a sermon off just one illustration. I'm a little different. But I remember years ago preachers preaching this a lot, and I went back and read into it. There was a remote tribe. And I believe Brother Kenny Morris preached a message about it years ago. But there was this remote tribe that had survived a tsunami. And the tsunami, I forget all the details. I do remember this. When it hit that island, they said it hit the island at 500 miles an hour. That wave just came inland. And they said, to be sure, nobody survived on that island. They didn't have the proper technology. They didn't get the news. They didn't get the alerts. But as the helicopters would fly over, they noticed the tribe that lived on that island was on top of a big old mountain there, waving at them, wanting supplies and some assistance. And when they interviewed the chief, they said, how in the world did you survive? And through his language, he told them, we went to higher ground. They said, how did you know to go to higher ground? They said, because we looked at the signs around us. We noticed the different activities and the way the animals were acting. And he said there was also, they noticed that all the fish that were inland began to swim deeper out towards the ocean. They said all of these natural signs our ancestors had pointed out was a sign that a tsunami or big wave was coming. So we found our way to higher ground. Brothers and sisters, look, I know we don't study fish so much, but I am telling you the signs of the times are all around us, and it is time right now in your life and my life to go to higher ground. That's the only place of safety. David said, that rock is higher than I. But I want you to notice the second thing, and hear me, this is important. David said, it's higher than me, but I also need to be led to that place. Escorted to the rock, I guess I would say. The other unique feature about David speaking of God in this rock here, he says, God, lead me to that rock. Now, there's many different ideas about what is meant by this, but I'll give you a few different popular ones, ones that make sense in my mind. David must be led to this lofty rock. Why? Because he realized it's beyond his ability to naturally get there. I don't know if you ever climbed maybe you ever been hiking before. I'll tell you, I've never climbed the side of a cliff, though. You know, I don't know if it's considered hiking or not, but we'll go to Tennessee, and there's a paved walkway for 2 miles up a mountain. And I feel, I've got all the gear on. You know, you can buy the hiking sticks and get a nice hat, and you really feel like you're conquering the world. But then you go, if you stop at the beginning of Cage Cove and they have a list of different trails, there's some of them don't have the paved roads. And there's some of them that say this, go at your own risk. Casualty rate, so many over this decade. And you think to yourself, where's the paved trail? Because it doesn't tell how those 10 died. I don't know if a bear ate them or what. But the idea is this, we lack the ability to do certain things. Many times there in the mountains, it would be elevated and the cliffs would often be slippery. And one cannot always just climb. We need help to get there. So brothers and sisters, do not be deceived to think that your deliverance is always just going to be, you know, mind over matter and self-will. Yes, you got to trust. Yes, you got to believe. There's times that God supernaturally will pull you out of the pit when you cannot do it yourself with your own strength. Look, I know you got to believe and trust. There's some things you can't do in your own ability. Sometimes the circuits of your mind will become overwhelmed. There's times you'll be in a place that you'll tell God, Lord, I know that you are, and I know that you are faithful, and only you can get me out of this. Only you, God, can help me to see the daylight in this. And that's what Charles Spurgeon would illustrate there. And the treasury of David, his commentary set on the Psalms, he talks about that idea that we need the help of the Holy Ghost at times to quicken us, to bring us out of the circumstances, to help us to run through the truth and to leap over the wall. God has to help us do it. Do you think all of David's victory is because of his own strength? I'm going to tell you right now, there was nothing special about that shepherd boy and that stone other than his divine and his faith in the divine above. Please don't think David went out there and practiced 50 times and said, 90 miles an hour, I'm ready to take him on. I'm throwing that thing. Somebody clock me. He didn't do that. God took that stone. God in his greatness, when they went walked around the walls of Jericho, that was not some sort of military strategy. What that was is God has to do some things. Charles Spurgeon shares an illustration about this, as I mentioned to you where it came from. In Spurgeon's day, there was often ships would come to a place. They would come inland. And there would be these rocks there. And many times what would happen is when the ship got too close to shore and the current would take them in, all the different rocks there would take the ship and bounce them off one rock, one cliff to the other. And many of the time, these men had no way upwards if they were to get off the ship. There was a specific area that he talked about over there in England. It was close to England where he was from. He talked about a certain area that was known for this. So there was a certain man one time that lived at the top of the cliff. And what he did. One time he took on a construction project there. And what he did, him and some other men carved steps down the cliff so that when anybody would come to that place, they would be able to jump overboard and come to that place and be able to excel to the top of that mountain and that cliff to a place of safety. It became famous in that known area at that time, even to the place that when the tides would wash away the steps, they would carve them back in. And eventually they put chains down there so men that could pull them themselves to the top. These men did not have the natural ability to climb. They needed assistance. And Spurgeon would go on to say, is this not like Christ who has made a way for you and I? When we were not able to pull ourselves upward, he made a way for us to come to where he is, a place of safety. Because if we are not careful, we can live low lives, groveling from trial to trial. But we need God to bring us upwards. Now I want you to notice another thing about this psalm. And again, I won't be extremely long. Verse 3 says something pretty unique. After he says, my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. He said, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. What the commentators and what is broken down here in the language, and sometimes the updated language makes it a little more clear. David here is referring to former experiences. In his present affliction, David is saying, Lord, lead me to that rock because you have been a shelter and a tower for me. So David knew what it was at previous times in his life to call out to the Lord and to find deliverance in him, to find shelter in him. And he's saying, Lord, if you've done it before, you're going to do it again. You can have confidence that God will deliver you again and again and again if you will but trust in him. In his present affliction, David realizes that in the past, God's done this for me. Like it would say in Psalms 18 and 10, the name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and they are safe. Now, my Bible up here brings this out in the original language. Look up that word safe. All it simply means this. As they are aloft. What it means is this, when it says the righteous runs into him and they are safe or they are saved, that original word there means they are made aloft. It means God brings you up, that God brings you higher. The idea of a strong tower was just that. When the enemy came in, there was a place for the men, the women, and the children to run to. It was a place of protection. Now I'm going to show this to you here because we got time. there in the book of Judges, and I'm going to turn there. If you want to turn there, you can. Judges chapter 9. You don't have to turn there. And I don't have it marked, so just give me a moment to get there. Judges chapter 9. I want you to see this. Bear it out in the scriptures. I'm not going to read, of course, it's a long chapter here. But it talks about Abimelech coming against them. And notice what it says in Judges 9 and verse 51. Listen to what it says. Let's start in verse 50, I'm sorry. Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. But listen to verse 51. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and the women and all the of the city, and shut it into them, and got them up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and basically it killed him. So the idea was this: in these cities, there was a place that you could run. There was a lofty place that you could go. And when you went to that place, it was a place of advantage. It was a place of safety. It was a place of help. Even the way that the staircase would wind upwards, it would actually prevent, if you ever studied out, it would prevent the enemy, if they were coming up, when they would swing their swords, it would cause them to hit the wall. But it gave the advantage to the man or the woman that was coming down. Why? It was a place designed for safety. But the name of the Lord is my strong tower. And guess what? There's been many a day I've ran to it, and it won't be the last. Make a habit of it, running to the high tower. Again, David realized that past experiences were something that would help you in the present. You remember the time that he was about to fight Goliath? Saul calls him into the tent and puts that armor on him. And I like the kids' illustrations. It shows a little old shepherd boy in this ginormous armor on him. And he said, look, I hadn't proved this, but there's something else he's proved. When I was in the field, there came a lion and a bear. And God was able to help me deliver those lambs out of their mouths. This giant will be no different. Notice what he does there. He looks to the past at the lion and the bear. He looks to the past and says, look, I know what God's done to the past. I'm going to make an application in the present. What God did for me there, he can do for me now. The Lord is a strong tower. He's done it before, and he will do it again. He'll do it again. So we look back at our text here. I want to show you one more thing, and I won't be much long. We're going to pray. You'll notice in verse 1, this is what he does. Hear my cry, O God. You hear that? It's a plea. It's a cry. But notice down in verse 5, for thou, O God, hast heard. God, hear me. Midway through the psalm, he's heard me. How many believes God will hear you? Prayer works, church. Look, you don't have to be a theologian to cry out to God for help. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be a song leader. You don't have to be anything special. But I'm glad to know, as the psalmist would say, hear my cry, O God. And as many times we read in the Psalms, the Lord has heard him. And he goes on to say, he's heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Brothers and sisters, this morning, there is a place. There is a higher ground. There's somewhere you need to cry out to the Lord and say, God, take me to that place. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. So this morning, this is very simple. And I wrestled on what to preach. It's things I'm going to share with you tonight that I've spent a lot of effort on. But I was praying. I said, Lord, there's times we have to be led to that place of victory. And God will do it for you. So this morning, wee hours of this morning, I found myself walking around the living room and said, God, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. I can't do it alone, Lord Jesus. I can't walk through this world alone, oh Lord Father. I know there's a lot that's going on. I know there's a lot of circumstances that is against us, God. But lead me to that place. Lead me to that rock. Lead me to that plateau that is higher than I. And God, I know you'll be a place of safety. I know you'll be a place of shelter. That's where I need to be, God. I need to be led when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to that rock. How many wants to go there? How many wants to live there? I believe we can do that this morning. I believe we can do that. Stand to your feet if you would. I've only preached about 30 minutes. Got a little bit of time to pray. I'll read our text again as you're standing. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is what? Higher than I. It's higher than you, brothers and sisters. It's where we need to live. Find you a place to pray this morning, if you would, for a little bit of time. Kneel down, find you a place to pray. Let God help you for the next few moments. Let God's presence touch you. Don't feel like you have to rush. I didn't preach long, only about 30 minutes. Take some time, and maybe you need God to take you up higher this morning. Lord, take me to that rock. Take me to that rock, dear Jesus. Lift me up, Holy Ghost. Lift me up. Oh, God, I need to get on higher ground, Holy Ghost. I need to get on higher ground.